Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
Hello, welcome back. Taxation is theft. We got another episode for you today. My dog's trying to jump in. What's going on? I got Andy Williams Jr., one of my arch enemies from the presidential libertarian contest. How's it going, man? Uh-oh. I just lost you. It was going all so good.
Whoa, we froze.
There we go. I think you're back. You there? No, you froze again. Man, what the fuck happened? I don't know if it's Facebook.
Oh, shucks. What happened? I'm there.
Are you in? I froze? Is it your Wi-Fi? Yeah, you froze for a minute. You're moving now, kind of slow. It's picking back up.
My Wi-Fi?
Is your Wi-Fi good?
It should be. Is it not?
Well, no, it looks like it's working now. It just like dropped out for a minute. Your wife's probably watching the stream in the other room.
I don't know, but if they're going to shut it down.
What's going on, man?
Chilling. What's happening?
Man, I was just talking to Josh Flynn. He's also in Chicago. You're in Chicago. Man, what's up with that shutdown? The lockdown.
Man, it's the governor trying to... I understand their position, but I don't support it in the fact that he is trying to be an arbitrator of my human rights along with my constitutional rights. And no man has that authority over another human by doing that. And I think we should have a choice to say, hey, listen, we know how to respect people's boundaries, but you can't force me to do something because you're the governor. And I think people are misinterpreting, you know, my platform on that. I'm not saying I'm not trying to use caution because of respecting everybody else's, you know, belief about the virus and, you know, how you got to keep your social distancing. I respect that. I don't have the same concerns. Like I have my faith, you know, rocks with me different, but I respect that. What I don't respect is another man saying, you got to be in at 5 o'clock. What?
Right.
What, like the street light came on or something? No. And that's where I feel like, you know, I have to stand up for my rights. And I just got through reading the Illinois Constitution, which I had read it before, but now I'm trying to basically look at, you know, articles 1 through 6, you know, what that says about my rights. And then I'm going in with the Constitution, and I'm going to bring an injunction and a suit against the governor. And just the governor.
So that's an interesting thing because, I mean, when I went to public school, and you know, that's like the best education you can get. We read the Constitution, but I didn't even know that the states had their own constitutions. They never taught me that. And like, right. When I found out about them and I saw like how, like, you know, cause the original Constitution was written on what, like 4 pages, and the US and then the state constitutions are like 50 pages or 100 pages, depending on what state you're in.
Right,
man, what the hell is going on there? But what did you find in there? What did you see that either protects your rights or do they even have these emergency powers that they're saying that they have?
So I haven't got to that part. I mean, it's not in the Constitution. It does talk about the governor and his roles and rights, but I haven't found something that says he has the right to arbitrate what constitutes an emergency. And I feel that the ones that are talking about this emergency are basically operating out of fear. And they're putting this whole fear on people. And because so many people are used to being governed, they, hey, well, the government says this. The government says they don't have no money, but they bail out so many people. The government says they don't have this, but they continue to do it. And here we are, you know, I'll just go with 56 years later after the Civil Rights Act bill, we still have poverty, we still have disenfranchisement, there's been no major jobs. Like, at what point do we say, stop lying to me? And so that's why I feel like I'm coming at the angle saying, I couldn't find a lawyer that I know, and I worked for several different lawyers over the past 13 years. I don't know no lawyer that would do this, would file the suit, which I'm okay with it because I'm going to represent myself. And I did talk to an attorney out of New Hampshire, and I did my own research, got their complaint, saw what it said. I was like, bet. I'm going to model after this, and I'm going to say the government, you know, does not have the right. One, I'm coming under argument separation church and state. My spiritual beliefs, you can't tell me I can't go worship because you're not God. And I think, because I am calling out the church. Dan, you see me? Yeah, I'm calling out the church in some areas about we're preaching all this faith and how God heals and James 5:14, if anybody's sick, come to the church. But now you're like, well, the government said close the doors. And I say, well, what about Daniel when he got thrown in the lion's den? Wasn't Daniel a politician? Didn't he, you know, disobey? You know, was it Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It's just certain scriptures that people always talk about, but do they actually believe what they're preaching? I do. And I tell you, shoot, I might add a coronavirus 2-3 weeks ago because I was sick and had a headache. And, you know, I drank water, stayed fluid, and boom, I bounced past it. My wife, she had the same thing. She was sick. Could have been the same symptoms. She went to the doctor. They said she had the flu. But I bet if they would have known it was a coronavirus, they, oh, you got a coronavirus. So, you know, who do we really believe? And that's where I feel like my faith is what I believe. And if I'm sick, I'm going to be made well. Like any other sickness, flu, chicken pox, pneumonia, shit, and if you die, which respectful to anybody, their belief, but if I die, it's my time to go. What am I going to do? Argue with it? Shit. Peace.
Yeah, that's, man, you just touched on like so many points. I wanted to go back and like, I'm going to forget half of them, but okay. So the one you finished on is yeah, we're all going to die. And people have this like, And like, it's tragic when everybody dies, right? Nobody likes to see anybody close to them die. Some people die and they don't want to die, but that's a fact of life at this point. We don't have some magical cure where anyone's going to live forever. Although like some of those like crazy looking billionaires, they look like they've been around for like centuries, but like that, we don't have that yet. Like everyone's been always searching for the fountain of youth. It doesn't exist yet. Maybe sometime in the future we'll have that. But as of right now, we don't. And I get that, like, okay, so yeah, but if you avoid the virus, you can prolong your life and you can have it a little bit longer. Okay, fine. So you have the right to do that. But you know, where does that right end when you're controlling other people in your environment? Because like, I mean, think about it. You could say the exact same thing and you can compare like infection rates and like all this other stuff, mortality rates. It doesn't matter. One person can die from the flu. And they can get that from one other person who goes out to the same airport as them and they get it from them. So does that mean we should shut down all the airports for all of eternity because somebody else can get the flu? And like, it's like, okay, you can say, well, yeah, but it's more infectious than the flu. It transfers faster. It kills more people. Yeah, you can say all of that, but the flu can still do all of that. And so where's the magic line? Where do you draw the line? Is it, if Corona's here and the flu is here, where's the line? Is it here? Is it here? Like, no, it's we've created this panic and we've used it as, because maybe we haven't seen anything like this before. But what's interesting is like, even right now, we're seeing like all these, like in the US, all these cases, like 1,000 cases came out yesterday, whatever. We're up to like 8,200 cases as of yesterday, probably like 9,000 something today. But that's the thing, like as like all these new cases are coming up, but the number of deaths is not coming up. And what that means is, just like you said, you didn't go to the hospital, right, to get tested for corona. So you're not a corona statistic. And if you did have corona, they're not like you are offsetting that mortality rate. And this is like this is a new thing. The flu is old. The flu's always been around. They know how many cases there are. They know when somebody comes in, oh, it's the flu. They don't test for any specific virus. So we really we don't have enough data to know what the fuck we're dealing with. But going back even further to your points about the church, man. So one thing you said was if you're sick, come to the church. Man,
James 5:14.
That used to be the thing. Like that used to be, they would take care of you at the church. They would have like nurses at the church to take care, and that's illegal now. And this other point about, yeah, now it's like you could be homeless and just need a place to sleep so you don't get sick. You don't even need medical treatment. You're just trying not to get sick, and that's illegal. Well, like, where is the First Amendment? Where's your freedom of religion here? But on top of that, the case about, what is it? There's always a case about a kid who's sick. And like maybe it's they're sick with the flu, and if they take them to the hospital, then like, you know, the doctors, they have like a cure, right? It's just the flu. But the parents want to be they just want to trust their faith and pray that their kid's going to get better and not take them to the hospital. Now let's take cost out of, I don't know if cost is one of the reasons why they don't want to. It like, cuz I don't know, if that were me, and I'm not a religious person, but I would think, you know, you got your backup plan and you got your main plan. Use both of them, right?
Correct.
That's what I would think. Take the medicine they give you, but also drink vitamin C. Also, you know, whatever, get rest, whatever, you know, do everything you possibly can. But, and I can't remember what happened in that case, but there was a case where like the parents, they didn't want to get treatment. You know the case I'm talking about?
No, but I can just imagine the government stepped in and said, we're going to tell you what you got to do with your kid, right? Give this vaccination.
They probably took their kid away.
That's what would happen.
Yeah. And that's fucking crazy.
What I look at it is this. I don't want to say I'm a Bible scholar, but I love this little Bible stories. Because when I was a kid, I was always on punishment, and that's the only book I can read, my book of Bible stories. So that's how I like learned all these stories. And when you read these scriptures and you see Jesus healing some little girl, I mean, based on what the scriptures is saying, for me, whether they're real or not, it gives me hope. It gives me something to be inspired of. Now, if I'm sitting over here at home praying to the God I believe in, and I'm shaking in convulsion, I'm like, well, I'm just going to try to make it till tomorrow. And then I wake up tomorrow, my faith is still going to say, well, you might want to make a phone call. Okay? Because I'm still believing God, and I'm believing God that, listen, it's somebody that might have the answer. God said, correct. But if I just sit here and keep going through it, then I die, and like, say, I go see God, and God like, didn't I pop the doctor's number up in front of you? Why you didn't call your aunt who's a natural healer or any of those things? So it's not like I'm just going to sit here and be blind.
Right.
When my wife was sick, go ahead.
There's a story about that, or I don't know if it's supposed to be a joke or, but it's like, it's this guy and he's like, what is it? He's like, he's sick. And then the doctor comes and says, hey, I can help you. And he's like, no, God's going to help me. And then he's like, he's traveling again. And then like he runs into another doctor. I can help you. I can fix that. And he's like, no, God's going to help me. And then he dies and he goes to heaven. He's talking to God and he's like, God, why didn't you send help? And he's like, I did. And like,
right.
Yeah, it's that's a great way to look at it.
It is. You know, my wife, she works around. She drives a school bus and she was like terrible. And then I got terrible and she got good for one day. And then she got terrible back again. And so I had told her, like, man, I don't see how you be getting better, babe. Go to the doctor. She didn't want to do it. And then when she finally did, they said, hey, you got a flu. You got to sit down for a couple of days. And she need a rest. Boom. I still, and like, I was getting migraine headaches like never before. I'm like, what the heck? And I was at work, working with my guys, holding my head. And He said, stop holding your head. I'm like, I'm the boss. I can do what I want. But for real, he's like, stop holding your head. Get to work. Like, my head was killing me. And I feel those would have been an extreme case of the flu or the coronavirus. But I overcame it is the point that I'm trying to make. And if the government is going to push all this fear out, like, let's say if I was the governor of Illinois or the president or anyone, I would have already talked to my doctors, scientists, immediately came up with a solution. So when I came to say, hey, listen, here's this flu that's going around, coronavirus, and here's what we're going to do to help you, to ensure you that this is. If you decide that you want to stay home because you don't want to catch it and it's legitimate, you go to the doctor, get tested, as a government, minimum government, will aid and assist you, you know, for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. Any businesses need help, will like help you temporarily. But I'm not going to sit out and say, oh, shut the whole world down. And we're already living below the poverty level. Don't know where we're going to eat at. And so, like, I don't want to say, like, it could get worse when we come off. But coming from the streets, being a thief and seeing people on crack and all this stuff, like, dude, cats going to come off this pandemic and not know what to do. It's people in the house probably fighting with their own spouse. I know shit. I didn't talk to my wife for a day and a half, not because of coronavirus, but because, you know, she talked loud.
But I mean, like you also have to like recognize that at some point, I mean, like this can only last for so long before, you know, people are going to run out of food. People are going to run out of money to buy the food, even if the stores have it. Things could get really ugly if they continue this shutdown for a while. And like, I don't know, I don't want to say I'm happy to see this happen, but I'm happy that I can take this and turn this into a learning, experience or to push a point that, like, you know, whenever the economy is doing well and unemployment's low, we're all like cheering, like, yeah, everything's great. But it's like, no, nothing's great. We're still sitting on top of like this house of cards. That's just like, it's just like one little thing comes along and it all falls down. And it just happened to be a virus. It could be a tornado, earthquake, whatever. We don't own our homes. We don't have any way to produce our own food. And the government's always trying to take all that away from us to like, this is how they force us into slavery. If we're always in debt, correct, and we have to continue to work for our entire lives until we're 60 or 65, they decide the number. We have to work just to keep what we have, and that's how they force us to fill up the factories and all that shit. It's insane.
It is, and we've been this way so long, dependent on a system, that the crazy person who doesn't depend on the system seems to be crazy. And, you know, again, I got several stories, but when I look at the story of Noah, and they say Noah was a righteous man, lived on the earth, and God spoke to him, hey, Noah, check this out, I need you to build this boat. Noah's like, all right. It's like, dude, you're crazy. No, it's going to rain. The people couldn't believe it was going to rain because it had never rained before. Then all of a sudden, you know, the rain comes. Noah and his family, 8 people, are saved. Why? Wow. Noah was listening. He was believing that. Now, again, I don't want to say, hey, that's a real story or a fake story. I'm saying I draw inspiration from that.
That's what we're going through right now, man.
Correct.
That is what we're going through right now. Nobody's fucking prepared. People are starting to die. And then all the people who thought, like, the preppers were crazy because they were being prepared are, like, those are going to be the ones who are out there just killing each other over. And this is what's so stupid about it. The resources are there. Like, okay, if there's a hurricane or tornado or something, like, that might take out farms, that might take out roads, and that prevents resources from getting where they're going. That hasn't even happened. Where the farms are still producing food, the food manufacturers are still going, the electricity is still, like, all of this stuff is there. The only problem that's going to pop up is the distribution method, which is nobody has any money because everybody's got to be locked in their homes. And if people were, Karen just put in a comment, start a garden, buy some chickens. California has this thing where they killed 1.2 million chickens over the last year in people's homes. Like, they went to people's homes that had like some chickens out in the backyard for eggs. and for, you know, for some poultry every once in a while, they would be doing so good right now under this situation. Cause hey, if the store runs out, we got food here that might last us for a few weeks longer than everybody else. But right. The state, the government took that all away from them.
Right. Because I feel like this system, you know, this world system wants us to depend on that, because for somewhere along the line, things shifted and nobody went back to the beginning to say, well, what the hell was Thomas Jefferson on? Or what were these people on before the Columbus got here? Like, what really was going on? And we never really know the truth, because the education indoctrinates us with somebody else's theory. But for me, when I talk to, you know, like you, I loved our panel down in Peoria, because it was a set of free-minded thinkers that's all thinking outside the box. Like, I have not stopped talking about this debate, because very rarely do you get 10 people or a room full of people that have the same expectancy. Like, that's like a church service to me. We're all in there with some hope, believing we need freedom. That's the first time I thought about it. That's really what it was. It's like we accept what somebody else tells us. No, we don't, though. If we find out we wrong, hey, my apologies. But the way it's looking like right now, we should have been done had the solution. And if farming was the solution back then, it should still be the solution right now. What you do on your property is your business, as long as you're not hurting nobody. You ain't taking from nobody. Because when you stop for 1 second, the government is who is taking that system. And then these people get into that system and then they conform to the system. Like, you go in with good intentions. I'm gonna make all these changes. And then you get in there and you look at the giant and you like, oh hell, they ain't gonna listen to me. And so you just go along with the status quo. I'm not going along with no damn status quo. I ain't never went along with the status quo. You know, I bend and flex a little bit where I have to, but not to take on that identity. That's why a lot of the church people that I know, they is probably saying, we ain't fucking with Andy right now. They been stopped messing with me because I'll call them out. Don't talk about your scriptures when you don't believe your scriptures. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to teach it by your example, not so much by what you say. If the government is so good, show me. Why hasn't poverty decreased? Why do we have all this money for incarceration, but we don't have money for education? And I'm not talking about education with the school system education. I'm talking about education on how to balance a budget. Simple stuff. Stop spending right. What you don't have. You know?
Yeah, that's like school is job training. That's all it is. Like even the math that they teach you, like, okay, look at it, right? They teach you some basic math, and if you, like, depending on how well you do, they'll take you up to like calculus and all this other shit, and they'll ask you, and people ask, like, where am I ever going to use this in the real world? On the job. And that's it. This is job training. They were conditioned. Those programs came up when they were conditioning people to become scientists so that they could, like, make sure that we would have the best scientists in the world, so if Germany ever started acting up again, we'd have the best weapons. And like that's where this comes from. That's the government's interest in teaching us shit like that. And I'm not saying that stuff is bad to learn, but that's like, man, I'm a software engineer and I know like some crazy fucking computer shit, but I learned it because I was interested in it. And there are other people who know like crazy shit about like history or like different types of science. And it, like, this is like, you look at like the inventions of electricity and bifocals and the microscope and the these were all people, and like the cures for like early diseases, penicillin, these were people who were just like, they learned on their own because they were interested and they wanted to make the world a better place. Not because, oh, if I learn this, I can go invent some formula for some big pharmaceutical company and they'll pay me a little bit of money while they're making hundreds of billions. No, right, that was right. Never the plan. And that's the thing, when school, like, that's why they're teaching us this. And they don't care what we're good at or what we want to learn. They know what jobs they need to fill in order to make their perfect little, like, Sim City fucking work. That's all we are to them, man.
You know, I came up with this Investment Act, you know, like the bailout Barack Obama signed in 2009. You know, like I said before, it's personal to me because I fought a foreclosure for 13 years. I look at that blueprint and say, we need the bailout for the people, but not with like some check to say, here's a check for you. It's like, bring back inventions. Like, I am 100% believing I'm inventing cars again. No, not like it's a whole new car, but it's a car with the old school body style with a new school engine running on solar power windows, you know, hemp fuel, so it's clean energy. And now we go to Detroit, and now we just, you know, brought back hope to Detroit because that was the Motor City. So we just created jobs, and that's an education process, but now crime has been reduced. People have hope again, because now I can really feed my family. And so now the next generation coming up after us don't have to go through that bullshit that went through the 70s, you know, when this whole war on drugs was, which it really was about a disease because people needed hope because they lost their jobs and there was no plan B. We're in a time right now, our generation sees their solutions. And the system that hasn't been working is not the damn solution. There's some good in it. There's very much good in structure and certain things. But it's some other things that's controlled that ain't structured. And that's where we're coming up with our generation or libertarian, free-minded people that's saying, nah, this not going to work. Where's inventors again? Like, it's billions in inventions that have not been invented. Millions. And what we doing, just waiting? Nah, dude, I'm serious.
And the government's like, you can't use those. They haven't been tested yet. And you got to pay us $50 million before you can test them. So sorry, that's going on the shelf. Man.
I know how to get around that, though.
Not if it's medical.
I know how to get around it with medical, too. There's a American Declaration of Indigenous Peoples Act. And that basically says, if you self-identify as indigenous, saying, hey, I was here, this is my answer, this is what we practice, then based on this that was signed in America, I think Barack Obama signed it or something. I have it. You can have your own whatever you want to. They can't stop nothing that you're doing because it's basically your right as a human. And people don't know about that, but that's my little backup side plan that I operate on. And it just comes out.
That's interesting. Man, and you know,
I'll email it to you.
Yeah, no, well, here's the thing too. Like, because I remember I was looking one time like for a religious exemption for Social Security, right? And there is one. If your religion says that, you know, Social Security is not acceptable, you can opt out completely from Social Security. But here's the thing, they have these rules that say the religion must have been formed before 1954, and like they don't list which religions, but they basically put some criteria that say, okay, yeah, it's only like one or two religions. And I'm like, wait a minute, so these are the only religions? You're basically saying you only recognize religions that were formed before 1959, but the First Amendment says Congress shall pass no law respecting the establishment of religion, which means I should be able to establish a new religion and you shouldn't have shit to say about it. You should not be able to pass a law about it and say, well, we don't consider that an established religion.
You're right. But this American Indigenous Peoples Act is the bomb.com. When I saw these people in Texas was requiring these kids to cut their dreads off or they couldn't graduate, well, I'm going to sue for my civil rights. No, come under the American Indigenous Peoples Act. That's what your ancestors used to rock with. And the American Declaration of Indigenous People Act is for anybody who self-identifies as an indigenous people. So it could be the melanated people. It could be the Native Americans. It could be anybody who says this, because that's the way the act was set up. And it's modeled after the UN Declaration of Indigenous Peoples Act. People don't know about it. Well, of course you're not going to know about it. I'm not going to like broadcast this and let you know about your rights as a human. And so when I got that, I'm like, yo, this is dope. This is dope. Because you literally can go into a court of law and require the system to respect what you have right here. But who's going to tell me, because I used to have long dreads, you're going to tell me I got to cut my dreads because you don't like them? How could you tell me that? Did my ancestors rock their hair like that? No, they didn't. How do you know? because it's a spirituality, like it's in my DNA. And I use that example because when I look at the candidates, you know, Biden or Bernie Sanders, anyone, and the melanated people, I don't like using the word black, that's why I say the melanated people, people of color, they would never know how to relate to that experience because it's not in their DNA. Like, it's not in your bloodline. So you would only know what you feel is relevant for us. That's not right. I know what's relevant to me because I have a history of Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, Nelson Mandela, Dr. King, you know, all of these historians that come up in our ancestral lineage that says, we're great, we conquered, we overcame. But why did we have to, though, is my point. We were born. And that's where I look at, you know, the Libertarian Party. They're basically honoring your inalienable rights as a human. And so many people don't even get that because of the brainwashing or indoctrination, because they won't read for themselves. I'm going to let the government tell me what's going on. Pick right. up a book. Find you a
it's
doctor.
It's got to come from, it has to come from a place of authority for them right. to believe it, because, you know. And that's the weird thing. Like, everybody takes government for granted just because, like, I mean, imagine, like, you're there, you're growing up in your house with your family, and all of a sudden, one day, this guy knocks on the door and says, I'm from the government, you have to do what I say. You'd be like, who the fuck are you? You're from the government. What is that? Get out of here, man. But it's
right,
like,
right.
but it's this conditioning that we, like, you know, our parents, because our parents have been conditioned, they tell us, like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's the government. They do what you want. They do what they want. They tell you what you got to do, and they make the law. If you don't follow the law, there's going to be penalties and consequences, and you got to give them money and all this other stuff. And it's that conditioning. And then it's all out there, too, like, every single day, right? Because, I mean, shit, every time you see a police car drive by, it's a reminder, hey, we're in charge. Our presence is here. We are here. We're watching everything. We know what's going on. You better obey. That's like the conditioning. The schools, of course, we're sitting in their schools for 12 years. Of course they're going to tell, man, and DARE comes in. And the bullshit that comes out of DARE, man, telling you, like, oh, if you ever get arrested, don't ask for a lawyer because it makes you look guilty. Like, absolute right. nonsense coming out of them, man. It's programming. It is absolute programming. And some people just don't. They're, like, so programmed, they don't see it, man.
Yeah, well, what they're going to learn today, as Kevin Hart said, they're going to learn today because I'm telling everybody the truth. And I'm not saying I have the truth. I'm saying collectively we have the truth based on our experiences. But there's some truth that is absolute. And if you go back to the 60s and you just look and see all the video footage of all this stuff that was going on, how can you not see that there's some propaganda and bullcrap going on? Like, you can literally see yeah. it. You know what I'm saying? We don't even have to go back to the 1800s or the 1700s. We don't even have to go there. Let's just go right here in the 60s. And look at Dr. King and what he stood for, nonviolence. You know, and I love his platform, with the exception of, I'm not turning the other cheek. Now, that's where Malcolm comes in. You put your rifle down, I put my rifle down. Or the Black Panther Party, which I was watching something last night about the Panther Party and Fred Hampton. And he was like bringing, you know, white people together, Puerto Ricans together, like everybody was together about yeah. power to the people. But who controls that narrative? We control the narrative now because we're in a generation that we can tell the truth. Like his son, I talked to him several times. Like, man, bro, you could tell the narrative about your father the way you want to. You make the action figures. You make the comic books. That's why I'm saying I don't want the government to give me nothing other than a seed. That's what it's minimum government.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying the government is totally bad. What I'm saying is, governing with a control is bad. I just want to go to work and chill. Congress, government, wherever the hell. Because now I'm into this whole political stuff. It's in my blood now. But not to control. It's just not. I'm not with that. Because I don't like to be controlled.
Well, I guess that, I mean, a lot of people say government is control. And technically, I mean, that's kind of technically what that word means. But at the same time, a lot of people will say, and I'm kind of more along this line, if the government has any role at all, that it should be to resolve disputes between us. And that's not really control. So that's like that's really what it should be. Because I mean, look, if this is what I see, right? If somebody steals from somebody else, and then like that person says, "Well, he stole from me, I'm gonna go steal it back," and you get rid of like the whole court process, then what's gonna happen is like, and we already see this today. People are like, "Well, he did this to me, and you know, therefore I'm gonna do this to him." And it's like it becomes like a system of retaliation and not a system of getting back what somebody took from you, which is the purpose of the courts. And so you have like this angry mob that's like, you know, man, that's the whole thing with the angry mob. That's why we have juries, so we don't have angry mobs, because angry mobs don't think straight. And you see this on Facebook all the time, right? People will be like, "Ooh, he said this. We need to burn him at the stake. We need to put him in the guillotine." Like, and it's like, man, all he said was something stupid. He didn't even do anything. I think that's why we expect to have a system that's going to sort those kind of problems out for us without making them worse first. But that doesn't involve control. That's not saying, you can't drive too fast on the highways because we think it's dangerous, even though we've proven a million times it's not. So therefore, if you go too fast, we're going to steal your money. That's control. That's totally right, different. Right. From making sure everybody's in debt, that's control. Making sure like we have education systems that train people to work in the factories that the government is subsidizing, that's control.
Right.
That's the part we got to get rid of.
I like when you said about the solve disputes, because In the Book of Solomon, he was like this wise king. There was a story that talked about these two women had babies born the same day. One of the babies died, and so they both were claiming it was their child. Solomon comes along and says, "Listen, bring the baby," pulled out a knife, and was going to cut the baby in half. The one who wasn't the mother was like, "Cut the baby in half." The ones whose baby really was the mother, she's like, "Give it to that woman there." And so he ruled wisely. He ruled like a king with wisdom. And so that's why I like what you said, was there to solve disputes. It's like the people's court, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah, because sometimes you got to take somebody who's not like not directly involved with it to like use their brain and be like, you know, okay, I don't care who wins as long as the right person wins, and look at it objectively like that. That's a crazy fucking story. Cut the baby in half.
Yeah, but that's Solomon, you know. And I look at that because when I say, you know, I believe in abolishing, you know, the prison system, but not correctional facilities. So I believe, or reformatory schools, whatever you want to call it. And there's a process to get to that, but I look at the parole system. So quite naturally, I want somebody that's on the parole board to make sure, you know, the people are reformed that's been an ex-criminal. But I also want somebody who's never been a criminal there too. Because if I just have the people who are the criminal there making the decision, they may go by on their life experience and measure based on what they overcame and been through, or what the scenario was they were in, not the one who actually was harmed. So if the person who was harmed offers forgiveness, but at the same time saying, "Wait, that motherfucker ain't really changed," they would see it from a perspective that the actual person like me would not see. Like, I know there's things I'm going to be blind to. You know, I try to be fair, but come on, man. One of my homies, fuck that. Because I have a personal experience to say, he sounds like he done got his shit together. And then he the joker that get out of jail that goes, shoots up a motherfucker and then accidentally kills my grandbaby or some shit. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to put myself in that position thinking that I have it all together. I would never have it all together. There's no need for me to. It's a collective, you know, universal wisdom where we all come together, you know, free-minded thinking, you know. And that's why when it comes to the Democrats or Republicans, I'm not opposed to the duopoly system. I'm opposed that there's not a mediator in the middle where the libertarians come in. Where the media, some of us, you may say, "Hey, you're way off what you're thinking." I don't think they're way off. I just think we are too soon for the world to respect that.
What's weird about that is, like, I've noticed. Okay, so like, if you look at the voting results judges usually get a lot of votes. Libertarian judges get a lot of votes compared to, you know, anyone running for state house or anything. And those guys usually aren't even campaigning. But it's,
wow.
I think that's really interesting because I think, and like, I don't know if I like, cause you know, you try to like remember something that that you did like 20 or 30 years ago that you never really intended to remember. You don't know. I don't know if I'm making this up that it happened this way or if it actually happened this way, but I feel like I remember going into the voting booth and being able to say like, okay, well, it's Democrats versus Republicans. Well, if we have judges, then if a Democrat suing a Republican, it would be fairest to have somebody who's neither of those parties as the judge. And like, I feel like that was kind of, and I don't know if I'm just making that up. It sounds like total bullshit, especially now knowing what I know. But I wonder if that's why those vote totals are so high. And it kind of makes sense, but at the same time, it's kind of bullshit. Like we should vote on people based on who they are. And this was actually you went to the free and equal debates, right?
No, I didn't go. They didn't let me participate. Oh, so man. I didn't go.
So Arvin was there. And he was on the panel I was on, and he actually made a really interesting statement about he said the way voting used to be is they would give you a blank piece of paper and you had to know the name of the person you were going to vote for. So everybody was a write-in candidate. And I was thinking, like, that gets of the whole, like, Republican, like, that gets rid of that, man. That's really interesting. And that gets rid of people like, so people who are showing up to vote. Oh, well, I like Trump, so I'm going to vote for Trump. I don't know who any of these other guys are, but I'm going to vote anyways just because I like his name better. It gets rid of all of that, man. And that's like, that's the stupid voting that like nobody should be doing. We shouldn't be doing that stuff.
Right. I like that shit.
Right. Like that kind of blew my mind apart.
Hey, I'm going to have to call Arvin up on that shit.
Yeah,
that's dope. You know what I'm saying? Because what happens is that not everybody's vying for the president. They're vying for their community, saying, hey, listen, I'm right. In my own community. People know me in my community. I'll never make it to the president because all motherfuckers know me. You know what I'm saying?
Came here and shook my hand.
Right. Yeah. And that would be so damn great. I looked at Dick Gregory. He ran for president, I think in 68 or something, got 47,000 votes. You know, I was like, I wonder how he did that. You know, he was a write-in candidate. That's what he was. He was a write-in candidate for the Peace and Freedom Party. And then in 1920, I don't know if it was 1920 he did it or not, but it's this guy, Eugene V. Debs. He was in prison in Atlanta, George cell, a convict. Dude got like 970,000 votes, close to a million votes from a jail cell. Real talk.
Wow.
And he died when he died, he was in Elmhurst. He was from Indiana.
He beat most of the libertarians that have ever run.
970,000 votes in a jail cell, man. I was like, dude. And, you know, I'm writing this book called The Hood Candidate for President, Evolution of a Gangster. And I talk about Eugene V. Debs in there. I do. Because when I look at stories like that, it's inspiring to me, you know. And I be on social media sometimes with my friends. They talking about, oh, we're, you know, going to Democrat or Republican. I'm like, how you my homie? You ain't talking about me. Shut the fuck up. Because this is what I'm going to tell you. No matter what the campaign results is, the world going to know about the hood candidate, Andy Williams Jr. And that means I'm going to get opportunities. And those opportunities is how I'm going to empower my community. So I'm going to remember every last one of them brothers out there that didn't participate in the movement with me. Because they didn't believe in themselves. I'm not going to shut them down, but I know you're not qualified to sit at the table with me because you look to me as a Judas, as an enemy. You know, if we gangbang, drug deal, cheated together, stole together, any of those things we did together, and you've seen what I've done in the last 27 years of my life, and you not thinking I would be the right candidate, you ain't never been my homeboy then. Even if I lose, I'm the right candidate because I came up from you guys. Like, we all came up. In our generation, straight up.
And then they're going to come around like, hey, get me on the VIP list of that White House.
No, you're not coming nowhere over here. Like I was saying, you know, to a couple of people in the town, y'all saying nothing now, but it's going to be like when Noah told people to get on the boat. They ain't want to get on. When Air Force One shows up, Don't be trying to get on the plane now. Right. You can come to the White House, but you right. have to take Delta.
Help me build this thing. Sorry, you didn't help me build it. We didn't make enough space for you.
That's how man. I feel, man. And that's regardless of the outcome of the elections for me. Because the momentum I'm on won't change. I done met motherfucking libertarians that I ain't never met before. Didn't even know these mugs existed. What the fuck you think I'm doing? I'm going to come to Mexico. Where the fuck Dan at? Give me one of these little hats, man. I'm on my way, homeboy.
Hey, show anytime, up in the airport. Man. Anytime, man. Once they open the borders back up, come on down. That's kind of why I'm framing this as like it's a presidential run, but it's so much more than that because,
yes.
like, however far I get with this, like, it doesn't matter. We have to continue to teach freedom to people because ultimately yeah. like and this is what I tell the libertarians all the time, man, because I know, like, you know, somebody like Gary Johnson comes in and they're like, "Ooh, Gary Johnson, he's a, you know, governor, let's vote for him," and it's like, he's not teaching people how to be free. Right. I mean, he's got right. it in his tagline, but he's not really teaching it. And the problem is, If you get some governor to come in and say, "I'm a libertarian and this is why libertarians are great and you should vote for me," even if you got him elected, we will be no more free tomorrow because of that, because he's not teaching the people how to be free. And so if Gary Johnson would have been elected today and he said, "I'm going to get rid of all these taxes," what do you think the people would say? "No, how are we going to pay for the roads?" And they wouldn't let him get away with it. They would have impeached right. his ass on like right. day one. Right now, what's going on with the bailout, with Trump's bailout? All the libertarians are even saying, "Yeah, send me the money." I'm like, "No, just send me 100% return to my income taxes. Don't send me a bailout."
Right, but right.
libertarians have flipped it on that. Libertarians are supporting the lockdown orders, not because it's a good idea. Well, because it's a good idea, but they're supporting that there's tyranny backing it up. And it's like, right. look, lock yourself in your house if that's what you believe is right. But still, while you're locked in your home, write a big fuck you letter to the governor and send it to him. Send him one every single day and say, "Fuck you, I'm staying in my house because I think it's right, but you're still a piece of shit. And as soon as I get out of here, I'm voting you out of office." Do it.
You know what? What I did see is how to recall the governor in the Constitution, the Illinois Constitution, while I was reading it today. I didn't really go into reading all of it because that's not the mission I was on.
Yeah.
But I know it's there. I'm going to come back to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because if there's a way that to do certain things, I'm learning. And that's what I love about this whole process. My big fuck you to the governor, and I know I'm going to draft this lawsuit so well that when the people read it, they're going to be like, "Dude, makes sense." Because I'm not coming at it saying I shit on everybody else that's saying, "I got to stay. I'm afraid of the virus. I don't want to catch it." I'm not trying to be mean to y'all. What I'm trying to say is, if you want somebody to govern you, let them govern from the mediator standpoint and have your doctor, your scientist, not no politician telling me about what's health. You ain't never been no motherfucking health. Get your punk ass away from me, man, with that bullshit. That's how I feel. And I feel like so many people feel that way, but they don't know how to voice that. They don't know how to articulate that. So when I write it, I'm going to show y'all. That becomes my press release. And as soon as we get off lockdown, I go to court, and then they give me the names of the police officers. I'm filing a RICO suit. You know what? And this is not funny, but it's real to me. The mayor and the chief of police of my hometown both tested positive for the allegedly coronavirus a couple of weeks ago. I did this post about the mayor has this Ahab spirit. It's this guy in the Bible that was letting his wife Jezebel rule him. Like, Ahab is like a weak man or whatever. And the mayor's not weak. Personally, he's not a weak man. But he's weak in the fact that the police pulled one of my homies over and basically said, "We can do what we want to do, whenever we want to do it." And he was pulled over and given a ticket for not using his turn signal 100 feet. Well, that's the same reason I was detained when I got pulled over. So I could see his 20-minute frustration, and I could relate to it because I experienced that. And so I went off on the damn chief of police and mayor. Because these your motherfucking officers, they work for you. And now all of a sudden, both of you, and I did Facebook posts about both of them saying one had the Jezebel Ahab spirit. Now here we are a couple weeks later, and they both tested positive for the coronavirus. So one of my homies texts me, like, man, that's weird out, Joe. You posted that shit, now both of them got this coronavirus. Maybe God is telling us something. Like, I don't know, but you know what I'm saying? How ironic that shit is. But it's the wickedness of this generation is where I see punishment coming, and not like punishment like I'm finna kill your kids type punishment. But I think, you know, you sow what you reap. There's a cause and effect for everything that you do. So if you're pushing out good in the government, the people are happy. If you're pushing out bad through the government, the people are going to mourn. And it's all throughout history. All throughout history.
Man, and they're, well, like, they're doing kind of a mix, right? Because they're pushing out bad, but they're sugarcoating it so well that people are just buying it. That,
not this person.
Yeah.
Not this person.
Yeah, no, we are the exceptions, man. But that's the thing. That's my mission, man, is we got to teach this to everybody. Because, man, like I said, imagine this happened again, but everybody was prepared. Everybody already had their own ark in their backyard ready to go. What's the government going to do? Imagine there's another financial crisis of 2008. What are they going to do?
Well, I tell you what, if Vernon's giving away free ponies, I'm giving away free arcs. I'm giving everybody an arc.
Nice. Man. Yeah, I mean, that's really the thing. Like, and I think that's why Bernie Sanders has been so successful, because he's telling people, like, well, he's telling people he's going to give it to them, right? He's going to give them some sort of stability and you know, security in their life. And what I've been pushing for lately is, yeah, I want to give that to you. I want you to have that. But, like, I'm not going to, like, print some money and give it to you. We're going to get the government out of your way and return what's been stolen from you. Because that's really all we need. Man, imagine, like, everybody should own a home and some land in this country. Like, this is the wealthiest country in the world. Everybody should. But the government... think about this. If you own your house, right? Some of the lowest tax rates in the country, like, I think California is like 1%. Texas is 3%. If you have a house in Texas and they're taxing you 3% every year, that's only 35 years before you just paid the government the entire value of your house, which literally means, like, if your house is worth $100,000, you just bought it back. The government took your $100,000 house and you gave them another $100,000 to buy it back. And you're going to have to do it again for the next 35 years. In California, it's 100 years. I don't know what's your property value. And that's only the state property rate, actually. Then you got county property and city property tax on top of it. Like,
you're right.
They're lit. And it's like, no, if you work your, like, this is the thing. Let's go back to inventions. You were talking about inventions, man. Inventions used to be like a gift to the world, right? Like, I'm here. I have my happy life. I have a little bit of land. I have a shop. I don't care if I don't get any business coming through this shop because nobody needs the shit that I'm selling, but I have a shop. I own it and nobody can take it away from me. And while I'm spending all day here, I'm going to spend my time researching and maybe I'll come up with an invention. And when I do, it's my gift to the world and maybe I'll make a little bit of money. Today, we have a completely different mentality. I can't invent anything because I don't have time. I'm going to work on other people's inventions and keep making more of them, more of the same exact thing just so I can keep a fucking roof above my head. That's a totally different mentality of scarcity and fear, and that's where most of us live. And we have to get out of there, back into that spot of like, no, let's be fucking creative, let's live our lives, let's enjoy our lives. If you invent something, if you make the world a better place, good for you, share that with everybody else and forget about the fucking money.
I got a patent on an invention. I invented a coffin in the shape of a teddy bear for little kids. Real talk. And then I came out with a whole line of creative caskets. And in fact, one of the platforms on my campaign is the Inventors' Right Act, to pass it to stop corporations from stealing the ordinary person's invention. You know what I'm saying? So I just, you know, and when I looked, it was a guy named Mr. Patterson that he was a colored dude that invented the Model T Ford first. And I'm like, dude, Mr. Patterson. And he did a, he made a bus, like all this shit I'm coming up with. And that's because the spiritual part of my life dealing with the ancestors, like when you go searching for the truth and start finding stuff out, it'll all come to you. And that's what has been happening. You know, all this stuff starts hitting me and I'm like, what the hell is going on? I don't know what to do with all this information. And I'm like a research fanatic, but I know how to implement. You know, before I would just keep researching, and now I'm implementing. You know, I got a patent approved, a patent pending. I got more patents than I can even think of, you know. Of, I mean, I write them all down, you know, and I want to implement them. But at the same time, how can I do that when I got to worry about how I'm going to pay these bills, you know? And at one point, it wasn't like that because I was financially secure enough for 6 months, February 2019. Quit my job. 3 days later, my homie was a mass shooter at a dang factory, killed five people and shot five police officers and another person. And then it threw me back into the activism role. And it just, after 4 months in the community, fuck, where the fuck my damn money go? I got a whistle from my bank account talking about they need a deposit. I'm like, oh shit. Because I had got distracted, you know what I'm saying? Trying to help people, empower people, not trying to take this into a bad thing. I mean, it's bad what he did, but then you look, you don't look, I got his whole employee file, 12 years of rejection of grievances. And he's like, man, y'all fucking discriminating against me. Oh, nope. And like you push somebody and then you snap. And then, you know, the mayor was like, oh, he's, you know, a murderer, da da da. Fuck, 2 years ago, they came to your damn law firm talking about discrimination before you was a mayor. You didn't want to tell about that? Like, you could have,
man.
I'm not saying prevented it, but you could have definitely referred him to an attorney where they would have felt they was at least made whole. He could have.
That, well, that's the thing. Like, oh, man, this is a sticky subject. But like, OK, this is the thing, right? We're all under intense economic pressure, which is ultimately creating survival pressure, right? Because we have an instinct to survive. And so we right. need to do whatever we need to do to survive. And when you, like, the entire system that we live in is founded on the principle that if you create economic pressure on everybody, they will be forced to beg for jobs, which is basically wonderful for the big corporations that need cheap labor, right? It's literally a system of slavery. And so you create this economic pressure and you force people. And this is the thing, like, people weren't like this. You could go back 100,000 years to where we had fucking nothing, dude. Like nothing. Like we're like chopping down trees with sticks, trying to like build a little fucking whatever kind of shelter we can out of it.
Right.
And we were happy. We were happier yep. then than we are now because we weren't under, we didn't have depression, anxiety, and all this other crap because we weren't in this zoo that they've created for us where like we're in this cage and we have to follow these rules and we have to act like circus animals to do the jobs that they tell us to do to make the money to pay the taxes. And like, that's not supposed to be the thing. And so when you look at like, when you consider that you're creating all of this pressure, it's like, it literally is like a zoo. Like think about like the, like a circus where you're training the animals, right? And you've got a lion and right. like, you know, the lion, it starts small and you think you have it trained, but you're beating it every day. And eventually one day that lion snaps and it kills the trainer. That's what happened because you're creating pressure. Now it's like, and then people look at the lion and say like, oh, the lion, that's why you shouldn't have lions in captivity. Yeah, you shouldn't have lions in captivity, but you also shouldn't treat them like shit and create a situation where they're going to go fucking crazy like right. that. Right. It's like, you know, everyone always says like, I was watching that Joe Exotic show.
Tiger Joe.
Yeah.
Exotic show.
And one thing they said is it always ends in it always ends bad when people try to own big cats. And I'm like, no, you know what I noticed that always makes it end bad is like, cause I grew up in Los Angeles and I remember hearing like several stories about people who owned exotic cats. And it was always like they went broke And then their cat killed him. And I'm like, what's the correlation there? Maybe they didn't have enough money to feed them, because those things are fucking expensive to feed. When they're well fed, I'm sure they act fucking well behaved. But when they've been starved for a little bit, you're just a piece of meat for them. Like, that's, and so you're creating that pressure. And so, like, so going back to your example of, like, you know, we talk about mass shootings, we talk about criminals, we talk about gangs, we talk about all this, like, violence and murder and everything. How much of that would go away? And, like, people say, but still, even with all this economic pressure, I'm able to survive. My life isn't like that. I never killed anybody or stole from anybody. That's fine. That's you. But somebody lives in a different situation under different circumstances. And they might not be, like, they might not have as much as you have, for one thing. They might be further down, like, under higher pressure. But, like, you have to consider all of this. Like, you really have to consider all of this. Because if somebody were to come along today and say, okay, everybody owns land, everybody owns food, everybody's educated to know how to use it and how to keep it and how to live and survive without having to work or need money or anything else, you're not going to have people stealing money. That's a fact.
Right.
And
right.
You're not going to have so many people killing, because a lot of the killing is it's over resources. It's fighting over resources. And we have so many resources in this world that we don't need to be fighting over them. But you have taxes, and you got to pay your taxes, which forces us to fight over resources, man.
Right. 40% of my money goes to somebody that didn't do anything for me. You're telling me when I retire, you're going to help out with me with Social Security.
Yeah, I won't
but
then be there.
There's no money for there. You know what I'm saying?
And like, even if it was, that would be a shitty life, man. Give you like $800 a month.
Yeah,
and you're paying $1,200 in rent.
Right. You're cutting social services, but my taxes haven't went down because there's no money for, like, just look at what keeps happening. All the money, taxes and all that keeps going up, but the help for the people keeps going down. Something don't add up here. Now, they taught you that shit in grade school. 2 + 2 = 4. What the hell? The equation doesn't add up. But it's like, we just don't sit back and take the time to really look. And I have, you know, a lot of this stuff stumbled upon me. You know, I had to do the funeral, the eulogy for my homeboy's funeral. Did I agree with his choice and decision? Hell no. I didn't say nothing about nothing other than he's still one of the soldiers. He's still one of the guys. I don't appreciate what he did because there's other people, you know. But then I get his file a couple weeks later. I'm like, well, shit, this makes sense. I didn't say it was right. And see, people think, you know, when you say, I want to help people understand, how else do you make sure it doesn't happen again? You know, it happened on a Friday. Tuesday, I'm at the plant because they wrote people over there still love me, put it like that. The co-worker still loved him, even though he did what he did. So I go pick up a card and a plant for the mother. The lady's there saying, other companies is calling this company saying, this is what you're supposed to expect after this. So you're telling me this is reaction instead of prevention from the 1986 postal shooting? Didn't nobody come out and say, here's where we fucked up at? It was always the shooter's fault? Get the fuck out of here. That don't even make sense to me. You know what I'm saying? So now I want to, like, hey, this is what the hell happened from their side. So then I connect with Channel 2 News, and I'm like, hey, let's tell the story. I emailed dude all of the grievances, the write-ups. I had the whole employee file. I'm thinking he's going to tell the story like, well, we really want the mom in. She ain't ready for this shit. Like, dude, she very not comfortable.
Yeah. They want to sell their drama.
Right. A month ago, in Wisconsin, dude shoots up 5 people at the Coors Brewery place. One of the person's name that got killed was Trevor. One of the person's name that got killed a year earlier name was Trevor. Like, I'm not no conspiracy theorist, but hold the fuck up. 2 melanated colored folks shoot up 5 people at the job a year apart, and one of the doggone victims' name happened to be Trevor in both instances. So when I text the newspaper guy, he's like, man, I just was thinking about you. I'm like, well, fuck, let's tell the damn story. Because we're trying to prevent this from happening again. So there needs to be accountability with the corporations, and how you hold them accountable is to tell the employees about their rights. And I'm not saying the EEOC gonna do something. I'm saying it's a step that you can start the process and hold these corporations accountable for the systematic oppression and turning a blind eye to what's going on. And if you come across Andy, you can ask the 250 people that I helped in foreclosure. Only like 4 or 5 of them actually were successful. I mean, in getting some great incentive or winning some settlement, but so many I provided hope to, even though we lost. Because you still were in your house. I'm telling you, the problem's with the judges. Shit wasn't with the law. The law said the law. It's the judiciary people, the judges, you know, pulling their own discretion. Get the fuck out of here. But it's all systematic for me. It's not, you know, you can't, like, I know how to read and understand. My stepmom, I said she's white, you know, she taught me education. And because she's free, like, you know, when you grow up free thinking, you're raising people free, you're around freedom. That's just how I grew up, fortunate enough, you know, and I think that's part of the reason why I never wanted to be contained. Because I didn't grow up in that environment of feeling like, you know, you got to say yes when the police pull you over. We had a damn conversation. No, my uncle was always getting in trouble with the police, but he was fucking always drunk on cocaine, kicking motherfuckers' ass. So that's where he came in, you know, burning the tire. He had one of them SS Chevelles, squealing the tires halfway down the block all the time. You know, that's the shit I grew up around. It was cool shit. You know?
Nice. Hey, man. All right, man. I think we're at the end of the show, but I want to give you an opportunity to plug your website. We got your website on the screen, but of course, plug it. If anybody wants to find you, where do they go? If somebody wants to help you with your campaign, give us all the info.
www.awj2020.com. That's my Facebook page, my Twitter account. Instagram, which I really don't mess with Instagram. My email is andy@awj2020.com. Drop me a note, a line. Let me know you want to talk about something. And give me a week or so. I'll be suing the governor of Illinois and the state board of elections probably. I ain't sure if I'm going to sue them just yet.
I want to see that, man.
When the blueprint comes out, hey, I own it. Holla at your boy. I sent it to you. Empower the people so we can balance, you know, level the playing field. So that's what I'm about, leveling the playing field, lead by, you know, my example. If I lose, hey, I know why I lost. So keep it moving, man.
Awesome, man.
Station of Theft, man.
Yeah, it's been great having you on, man. It's great talking with you. We'll do this again sometime. Come down to Mexico sometime. And Taxation is Theft, I'll see you around.
Yeah, send me your email so I can send you this Declaration of Indigenous Peoples Act, man.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. All right, man. I'll holler at you. Enjoy. Peace.
Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.